Morning. Good to be able to come together this morning to worship God and study His Word, and I appreciate your presence. We have those who are visiting with us, and I'm thankful that you're here, and it's great to have an opportunity to come together, and I hope that you'll feel like you've left better than when you came, and I will certainly try to do my part in helping that as well. You know, there are a lot of different harmful diseases out there. You'll see commercials on TV for various prescription drugs fighting different kinds of diseases. One particular website that I looked at recently listing the top 10 diseases list things such as heart disease and stroke and lower respiratory infections, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Maybe you've seen the commercials on COPD out there. Lung cancer, diabetes, Alzheimer's, tuberculosis, cirrhosis of the liver, and so forth. There's a number of very damaging diseases that are harmful to us. But this morning, we're going to talk about one of the oldest ones that never makes the list. We're going to talk this morning about a disease that has harmed more than any of these others that I've just mentioned, all combined, and anything else that you can think of. It's harmed more individuals. This morning, we're going to talk about the disease to please. Do you suffer from that? Do I suffer from that? In the scripture reading that we just had in Mark chapter 15, the text says, wishing to please the crowd. Wishing to please the crowd, he released Barabbas and sent Jesus off to be crucified. I want to talk this morning about the disease to please. We are social beings, and we're supposed to be around other people. We're made that way. We're to be in different relationships, such as marriage, and the Bible talks about that we're to have friends. And we're to be in a local church relationship, and a marriage relationship, and a home and family relationship. So, understand that we're to be around other people. But what I'm talking about this morning is, do we have a desire to be so accepted by others that that takes priority over being accepted by God? How would you know whether or not you have this disease? How would I know if I have it? Well, how would you know if you had any disease? You might look at your physical body. You might feel things on the inside. You might see things on the outside. You would definitely go to a doctor. If you wanted to know if you had a disease or not, you would go to a doctor and there would be a battery of tests that are done. There would be a blood panel. There would be a battery of tests that are done. There may be some x-rays that are made. There's certainly going to be a number of questions that are asked by the doctor to determine if you have this particular disease or not. This morning, let's test ourselves. Before we turn to the Bible and look at this particular matter this morning, let's test ourselves to see if we might have this disease or not. What questions might we ask? I'm going to call it DTP. Do you have DTP this morning? Let's test ourselves. What are some questions that we could ask? Well, we might ask this question. When I'm around others, do I think what makes me happy or what makes the other person happy? When I go into a particular situation, are my values already set? Or do I wait until other people say and do things and then set my values accordingly? I wait until somebody else says something or does something and then I decide how I'm going to act. In other words, do I go throughout the day acting or reacting? Stop and think about that. Am I more worried about standing for right or for numbers? Might be an indication. Where do I go for my information to live each day? Do I turn to the Bible or do I turn to culture, the culture that I'm living in? I might get my guidance from news or music or movies or books or teachers, present company excluded. We have some great school teachers here this morning. They would never lead you astray, but others might. So present company excluded. Friends, family, co-workers, classmates, social media. I want you to come back this evening. We're going to talk about Solomon and social media. So I hope you'll come back this evening for that lesson. Who do I think of most throughout the day? Do I find myself regularly comparing myself with others? Do I suffer from OCD? And I don't mean obsessive compulsive disorder. I mean obsessive comparison disorder. Am I always looking to see what somebody else is going to say or do, and then I follow suit? I might be suffering from DTP. Do I find myself politicking in front of others trying to win their favor? Do you remember the old days when the politicians were running for office and the people would be lined up and they would be walking down and the mother would hold the baby out there, kiss my baby, and the politician would kiss the baby? Do we kiss babies? Do we politic? I'm not talking about being friendly with people. I'm not talking about having conversations with people. I'm talking about, are we trying to curry their favor? Are we trying to gain their approval? Make them like us in some way? Here's another test. This is a battery of tests that we're taking to see if we suffer from this disease. When I find myself in a situation where there's two different parties, do I find myself going back and forth between the two, trying to decide whose side to be on? You know, Pilate did that. Remember in John chapter 18 and 19, he went out to the crowd and he wanted to please them. And then it said he came back in to the praetorium and then he went back out to the crowd and then he came back in. There's two opposing voices there and he's going back and forth, can't decide whose side to be on. Do we find ourselves doing that from time to time? When we're with one person, we're trying to please them and act a certain way. And when we're with another person, we're trying to please them and act another way. Do I often ask throughout the day, what will they think of me? Do we ask that question? What will they think of me? Will they like it or will they like me? And then one last question to see if we might be suffering from the disease to please. Do you often find yourself embarrassed and apologizing for what you believe or how you act? If the answer to any of these questions was yes, we might be suffering from the disease to please. And this has harmed more people than any other disease that has ever been or ever will be. It's been around since the days of Adam and Eve. It's affected all of humanity. And it is harmful to the point that we can lose our soul over it. Pilate, wanting to please the crowd, had Jesus crucified. Do you know that the greatest travesty of all time, the greatest travesty of all history, is due to this disease that we're talking about this morning? Jesus put on the cross was the greatest injustice and travesty of all time, and the cause was because someone wanted to please the crowd. It's everywhere. And so this morning, I want to consider it because it might just be in you and me. And if it is, the encouragement is, we can rid ourselves from it. There is a cure to this disease. And we can rid ourselves of it immediately. And today we can please God. We can start pleasing the one that really matters. Can you imagine if I went down to Atlanta to the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control? Can you imagine if I went down there and I go in the front lobby and they got the information booth there and I've got a cure
for one of the most deadly diseases of all time. Run, get your doctors. Really? Yes, go get them. I've got a cure. And I lay my Bible up there on the counter and I say, there's this disease to please. And here's the cure for it right there. The person behind the booth would pick up the phone, call security, and say, we got a crazy man out front that needs to be escorted off.
But in fact, that's really what's going on. This is the cure right here for what we're talking about this morning. And if we suffer even from the slightest bit of this disease to please, even if we suffer the slightest bit, we can be cured with this right here. So let's look this morning at this matter. It's not something that is new. In the book of John, in John chapter 5, verses 41 through 44, Jesus said, you won't come to me because you love the glory of men more than the glory of God. It's been around since the days of Jesus. You can turn to John chapter 9 and verse 22, where the parents of the man born blind there, they wouldn't confess that Jesus had done this, because John 9:22, if anybody confessed Jesus, they would be put out of the synagogue. And they feared the Jews, and so they didn't say anything. The disease to please goes way back. You can turn to John chapter 12 and verse 42, where the text says that many of the Pharisees believed on him, but they wouldn't confess him, because it had already been determined that whoever did that would be cast out of the synagogue. So we're not going to confess Jesus. The disease to please. Could it be in you and me today? You know, when we look in God's Word, as we look at this topic then this morning, a most deadly spiritually disease, a most harmful disease, the oldest in the world, the affecting the most people. When you look at this particular disease from God's standpoint, what do you find? What pleases people? What pleases you? What pleases me? In Matthew chapter 14 and verse 6, the text said that when the daughter of Herodias danced before Herod, it pleased him. The lust of the eye. She was moving in such a way that generated the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh. This wasn't Herod saying, wow, look at her technical form. She's been to dance school and she's making all of those moves in the proper way that her teacher, the teacher taught her. I am so impressed with that. Was that what that was? I mean, common sense tells us what that was. She was moving in such a way that it generated the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh. The text said that pleased him. What pleases you? What pleases me? In Luke chapter 8 and verse 14, the text says that the good seed cannot fall on a good and honest heart there and produce good, because it is choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Now the word there, hedonism, it's not the idea of I enjoy an ice cream cone and every once in a while I enjoy the pleasure of watching my favorite ball team. That's not the pleasures of this life. It's pleasures that lead me to do things that are wrong and sinful. Those kind of pleasures. There are people who are so pleased by that that it keeps the Word of God from growing in their lives. Do you know that there are some who are so sick that they enjoy, they're pleased by seeing other people hurt? And we see that even today. Turn with me to Acts chapter 12. They're so messed up that they get pleasure out of seeing people hurt. The text says in Acts chapter 12 that Herod had had James put to death. The early church is being persecuted. And Herod is putting forth his hands to afflict certain of the church. Look at what the next verse says. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, He proceeded to seize Peter also. There's some people that are so sick and messed up that they get pleasure out of seeing other people hurt. All kinds of things please people. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12. There are some who have pleasure in unrighteousness, and it will not allow the truth to work in their lives. The problem is not the truth. The problem is not the power of the gospel. The problem is not the clarity of the Word of God. All of it's clear and God's Word is powerful. But they love unrighteousness so much, they have pleasure in that, that the truth of God's Word will not work in their lives. They will be judged who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. What pleases you? What pleases me? Turn with me to Romans chapter 15, and let's bring it a little bit closer to home here. These last two, I think, would be one of the greatest characteristics of the disease to please. And it may be that I'm just simply wanting to get up each day and please myself. That's why I asked the question at the very beginning. Each day, do I say what pleases me or what pleases someone else? In Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, Paul had just been talking about matters of judgment, where if you do it or not do it, it doesn't matter either way. He gives an example of eating meat or observing certain holidays. And so he says that in that context, we ought to let the other person have his judgment, and I don't need to bind my judgment on him if it's going to cause him to stumble, if it's going to cause him to look at me and go against his conscience and do something that he doesn't think he should do because he sees me, Chris, doing it. Paul says, in that scenario, be willing to step aside and lay aside your judgment and not force that on somebody else. And so look at chapter 15 and verse 1. Now we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. He's not talking about standing for right. We're going to talk about that in a minute. He's not talking about standing for truth and standing for right. He's talking about in matters of opinion and scruple and judgment, where either way you do it, it's fine with God. On those matters, we're not going to press ourselves. And Paul says we ought not to please ourselves in those types of things. And then he gives an example. Look at verse 3 or verse 2. Let each one of us please his neighbor for that which is good unto edifying. That's hard sometimes to let the other person in matters of judgment have his way. And then he gives the example of Christ. For Christ also pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell upon me. He was willing to go to the cross for us. He didn't please himself. He didn't sit up in heaven and say, I'm going to stay up here and not go down to earth. I'm not going to go to the cross. I'm not going to go down there and be mistreated. I'm just going to take care of myself up here in heaven. He didn't do that. He didn't please himself. But that's what governs a lot of folks. What makes me happy? And we see that in our society today in many places. And then this last one, I think, would be one of the biggest dangers in this particular disease that we're talking about, and that is others around us. The disease to please is so strong that those around us call the shots. They pull our strings. They call the shots. We're so concerned about fitting in with them and making them happy that we will not follow God and His Word. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. Paul said that he would not be a servant of Christ if he had lived that way. And there are a lot of people who live this way. What other people think and feel, family and friends and co-workers and classmates and society. Paul said, am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Am I striving to please men? If I were still pleasing men, I should not be a servant of Christ. You've got to make up your mind. You've got to choose. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6 and Colossians 3:22 that when you're working, when you're doing your work, you're not doing that to be men pleasers. You're working unto the Lord. And turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4 with regard to Paul preaching the gospel. Paul said, I didn't come preaching in order to please people. Now again, we don't get up and purposely try to avoid people. We're social beings. We're supposed to have friends. We're supposed to have relationships. But the point of the lesson this morning is the disease to please, what it does is pleasing others ends up causing us to not follow God's word. That's what we're talking about. We are to have relationships. We are to be around others. But we're not to let them dictate how we live. Look at what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 when he came to Thessalonica preaching. Verse 3, for our exhortation is not of error, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But even as we have been approved of God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, look at this, not as pleasing men, but God who proveth our hearts. For neither at any time were we found using words of flattery. Paul was not a politician. Paul didn't go up and flatter someone falsely and try to get them to do this or that. He just preached the word of God. But that's what we see today. The politicking, the smoozing, making someone feel good, and the smooth and fair speech, as Paul talks about in Romans 16. Paul just laid out the word of God. So neither at any time were we using words of flattery, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. It wasn't for some personal selfish gain or monetary reason. God is witness, verse 6, nor seeking glory of men. It wasn't about that. Not as pleasing men, verse 4, but God. And that's the point of the whole lesson. And we're going to get to that in just a minute. When we get up each day, it's not about pleasing men. It's about pleasing God. Do you know that being a Christian is actually pretty simple? It's actually pretty simple. When you get up each day, there's one person you have to worry about. I'm pleasing God. You do that, everything else will fall into place. Everything else will fall into place. We don't have 5, 10, 15, 500, 5,000 people to make happy. We've got one person that we need to please. And when we do that, our marriages will be what they're supposed to be, and our family relationships and other relationships that we have. I'm going to please God today. So on that note, turn with me to Romans chapter 8 and let's see some things that do not please God. I'm going to get up each day and I'm not going to worry about pleasing men. I'm not going to worry about what the world says, and even maybe those who are closer to me. I'm going to do what God says. I'm going to be my own spiritual person. I'm not going to be pushed around spiritually to go this direction and go that direction. I'm just simply going to get up each day and please God. So in order to do that, I'm not going to walk by the flesh. I'm not going to live a fleshly life. And Paul uses that here in Romans chapter 8 to talk about the mind of the flesh. He's not talking about your physical skin, but the carnal works of the flesh. I'm not going to keep my mind on sinful things and follow sinful things. Because if I do that, I can't please God. Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 8, and they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So I'm going to get up each day and I'm not going to mind the flesh. Look at verse 7. Mind the flesh. It's not subject to the law of God. Somebody says, well, what does it mean to be in the flesh? Well, verse 7. I don't want to subject myself to the law of God. I'm going to follow what I think and feel. But if I do that, Paul says in verse 8, I can't please God. So I'm not going to do that. And I'm not going to become unfaithful. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I can't become unfaithful and be pleasing to God. You remember when Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians 10, the Israelites coming out of Egypt?
and he talks about all of the things that God did for them in bringing them out of Egypt. But when they get out into the wilderness, the text says that they fall apart spiritually. There's murmuring and complaining and ungodliness and other kinds of sinful things going on. And look at what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:5. Howbeit with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And then he gives some examples of that in the next few verses. God was not pleased with them. Why? They became unfaithful. And many of them didn't make it to Canaan land.
I can't be pleasing to God if I'm walking by the flesh. And I can't be pleasing to God if I'm living unfaithfully. And I can't be pleasing to God if I reject Jesus and don't obey Him. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15. Paul is very clear about those Jews who rejected Jesus. It's interesting when you look at religious matters, theological matters, and you study courses on that.
In the 1960s, there were individuals in seminaries and various theological institutions who were writing books and different things, and they were talking about anti-Semitism. This was right after World War II, where it was obvious that Germany had engaged in killing some 6 million plus Jews. And some 20 years after that, it's obvious that there was this rank anti-Semitism in Germany. And so people were talking about that and writing about that and dealing with that. But an interesting twist came about. In the 1960s, there were various religious individuals writing books about anti-Semitism. And do you know where they said it got started? In the Gospels with Jesus and in the epistles with Paul. And you're thinking, what? They said that anytime Jesus opposed Jews, that was anti-Semitism. And anytime Paul opposed Jews, that was anti-Semitism. And this is one verse that they talk about. Paul made it very clear that if you reject Jesus Christ, you're going to get the wrath of God. They say that's anti-Semitic.
1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. Even as they did of the Jews, look at this, even as they did of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out and pleased not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, to fill up their sins always. What are they going to get? The wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Oh, you can't say that. Don't say that. That's anti-Semitic. But it's true.
There were many Jews and Gentiles as well who rejected Jesus and the apostles and the prophets. And that's not pleasing to God.
It doesn't matter who we are. When we reject Jesus, we're going to get the wrath of God. And that's why we need to obey.
That's why we need to become a Christian. So I can't be pleasing to God when I reject Jesus. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38.
I can't be pleasing to God when I fall away as a Christian. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. I have to be faithful. I need to be reading my Bible and praying and being present at the worship service when the doors are open and talking with others about the Word of God and remaining spiritually minded and all those things that are necessary in being a faithful Christian. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38, speaking of Christians, but my righteous one shall live by faith. If he shrink back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. I can't be baptized and then later fall away and quit and be pleasing to God. These things are not pleasing to God. And I have to have an active, obedient faith. Turn with me to the next chapter, in chapter 11, verse 6. The whole chapter is about an active, obedient faith, a working faith. We use this a lot to talk about people who need to become Christians. The actual context are those who are already Christians. Chapter 10 and verse 39. Those who are already Christians need to continue having an active, obedient faith. And what happens if I don't? Chapter 11 and verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto Him. I have to have an active, obedient faith each and every day to be pleasing to God. Do you suffer from the disease to please? Do I suffer from that disease where I get up and I'm more concerned about those around me than I am about God? I don't want us to suffer from that disease. It's so rampant in the world. It's so popular in the world. We see it all around us. Someone is either getting up each day trying to please themselves or what their friends want them to do. How do you want me to dress? How do you want me to talk? How do you want me to act? I'll check with you first and then I'll go do that. It's everywhere. Let's get up and please God. Let's get up and make Him happy. That's all that matters. And in order to do that, I want to close on this point. Let's look at what pleases God. And let's close in a positive way and see how that we can get up each day and please God. Turn with me to Ephesians 5:10. We can just get up each day and stand for truth. What the Bible says, I'm going to preach and practice and stand for. I'm not going to waffle on that. I'm not going to hem-haw around and fudge it and make excuses for it. Or I'm just going to stand for it. And so in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 10, when I go out as a children of light, verse 8, and when I produce the fruit of light in all goodness and righteousness and truth, verse 9, then I will be proving what is well-pleasing unto the Lord. That's how I get up each day and make God happy. I just stand for, verse 9, goodness, righteousness, and truth. That's how I make the Lord happy. And I'll prove what is well-pleasing to the Lord. We might not make our friends happy, but we'll be happy. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. When I'm filled with God's Word, I'm making God happy. That's why our daily Bible reading is so important. Whether we raise our hands or not, I think it's a good thing. But whether we raise them or not, let's just be reading God's Word every day. Why? That's what pleases God. That's what makes Him happy. When I'm filled with His knowledge, that's what makes Him happy. And that's what guides me each day. And so verse 9, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. I please God when I read His Word and then go out and bear the fruit of that. Filled, not a smattering. Have you ever eaten and you just filled yourself during that meal? And when you get, man, I'm just stuffed. That's a good feeling, isn't it? You push back from the table like, man, that was good Mexican food. That was so good. But when it comes to God's Word, do we fill ourselves or is it just a little hors d'oeuvre? Is it just a little snack? Fill ourselves each day with the Word of God. That's what makes God happy. You know, young people, obeying your parents. When you obey your parents, that will make God happy. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. We have parents here that are Christians and they're trying hard to raise their children right. And you're to be commended for that. It's difficult today. We have young Christian married couples here that, Lord willing, one day will start their families. And that's a challenge. And I believe they're going to do a good job. But you need to obey your parents. And in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, that's what makes God happy. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing in the Lord. They're trying to raise you right. They're trying to get you to heaven. They're trying to instill in you those principles and those qualities that will get you to heaven. Obey those things. It's good for you. It's what makes God happy. What you're seeing, young people, today in your culture is rebellion is the good thing, and talking back is the good thing, and misbehaving is the good thing, and just don't listen to what mom and dad say. They're a bunch of old fogies. They don't know anything. That's what you're hearing. It's not true. It doesn't make God happy. Just obey your parents. It makes the Lord happy. And you know, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Daily Christian living. We're not going to win any award programs. We're not going to be given any prizes at the end of the day. Much of the world doesn't care how you live each day. But just get up each day and live the way the Lord wants you to live, according to the New Testament scriptures. And when you do that, you'll make God happy. You're not going to win any popularity contests. Nobody's going to give you a door prize. Nobody's going to give you a certificate. But God's happy, and that's all that matters. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1, finally, brethren, we beseech you and exhort you in the Lord that as you received of us how you ought to walk, this is talking about daily Christian living, and to please God even as you do walk, that you abound more and more. Just get up each day and live the way a Christian is supposed to live. That's what pleases God. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Not being entangled by the world, that makes God happy. When we get up each day and we're a soldier of the cross and we're a soldier of Christ and we're not going to be entangled by the things of this life. We're not going to let the world strangle us and entangle us. Soldiers, when they go to boot camp and soldiers, when they are training, they get out by themselves and they're not tangled up by the affairs of this life so that they can learn how to be the soldier that they need to be. And so verse 4, no soldier on service entangles himself in the affairs of this life. Why, Paul? That he may please him who enrolled him as a soldier. We're going to make Christ happy. We're going to make God happy. If we get up and we're not going to be entangled by those things of the world. We shun that. We slough that off. We say, get back. That's not going to entangle me today. We make God happy when we serve Him and others. We're at our most happy point when we're serving God and others. Sometimes people ask me, how can I be more happy? Almost my go-to answer every time is serve God and others. It just raises the levelness of happiness in your life. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. We receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us have grace whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God with a reverence and an awe. And then come over to chapter 13 and verse 16 that when we share our physical means with others, we offer up sacrifices to God and we are well pleased. God is well pleased. Look at verse 21. Make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in us that which is well pleasing in His sight. When we're working, when we're serving, when we're giving, when we're worshiping, it makes God happy. And we'll be a happy person. And then last of all, turn with me to 1 John 3:22. Just get up each day and obey His Word. What makes God happy? What pleases God? 1 John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Just get up and obey God's Word. Serve others. Live an untangled life. Be a Christian each day. Obey your parents. Be filled with God's Word and stand for truth. We're going to stand in just a moment and sing this song of encouragement. You can come and show that you're pleasing God and not others. You can show that you don't suffer from this disease to please. Few people have lived without this disease. We're told in Hebrews chapter 11 that Enoch lived in such a way that he pleased God. You can do it. It's possible. We can do it. Jesus, we're told that Jesus did that in John chapter 8 and verse 29. He said, I always do the things that please my Father. Enoch did it. Jesus did it. You know, Paul did it. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 9, Paul said that we make it our aim to be pleasing to Him. We make it our aim. That needs to be our aim every day. We don't worry about pleasing men and others. We're not going to suffer from this disease to please other men, other individuals. We're going to make it our aim to be pleasing to God. He did, and we can do the same. Do we have the disease to please? Do we get up each day and live by the court of God's word, or do we live by the court of public opinion? Do we get up each day and live by the approval of God or by the applause of men? Do we live by faith or do we live by flattery? Let's seek to please God each and every day. And if we can help you to do that, while we stand and sing, why won't you come?